The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead rise again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last week in our sermon, we talked about the sacrament of penance. And it's this great sacrament that not only cleanses us from our sins, but it's this great sacrament that also allows for us to have a conversion of our life. Now, what do I mean by that conversion of life? We can really take conversion in several different ways, and in terms of religion, we can see it in two separate ways. Conversion in the very general sense, that is, one who was outside of the faith, who comes into the faith, he is said to have converted, or to have a conversion. Yet there's a more specific and literal sense that is taken from the very word itself, that turning away or turning against something. That turning away that we have is that turning away from sin. And that turning away from sin is a conversion that all of us need to have on a regular basis. This conversion is so important in all of our lives, because therein lies contrition. Therein lies our ability to grow in the spiritual life and to grow closer to God. In today's gospel, our Lord tells St. John the Baptist's disciples to relay the miracles to St. John, as this is a way for him to answer their question of when they asked him who he was. You know, go and tell St. John about what you've seen here, the various miracles, the blind seeing, the dead arising, the lame walking, lepers being cleansed, etc. Tell him all of the things that you have seen. In that way, he points out to them what they are witnessing, and then he points out to them also that St. John, he knows, will indeed indicate to them what they have witnessed. And so he tells them to go back to St. John with the miracles that they have seen. And that really, they really were miracles worked. They really were things that pointed to the divinity of Christ in his actions there when he met the disciples of St. John the Baptist. Yet there's another sense that we can gather from these great miracles. And that is a sense of a spiritual understanding of each of these miracles, a spiritual understanding that pertains to conversion of life. And it's this that I want to explore a little further, because I think it really helps to explain that conversion, and it helps us to reflect what we all need to do for our own lives, because we have to reflect on our own spiritual well-being. We have to reflect on the areas that we can grow if we expect to make any progress whatsoever. So, first off, the blind see. What is meant by the blind seeing in a spiritual sense? First off, it represents the sinner. The sinner who is blind is one who knows the truths of the faith. He knows the faith teaches him the evil of sin. He knows that what the dangers in his daily life are. He knows what the dangers of delaying amendment in his life will be, and the eternal consequences of sin. He knows all of these things, yet it's like he doesn't see them. He continues the sinful path without much effort at all in his life of amendment. That's the blind man. Yet when this blind man finally comes to see, when the scales are removed from his eyes, he recognizes his own folly, his own wrongdoing in that. He sees his own presumption in his actions and that eventual mercy from God. And he can't believe that he wandered so blindly, and he works in earnest to really rectify that situation, to amend his life, and to avoid those sins in the future. The next is the deaf. Christ tells the disciples that the deaf hear. So what do we gather from the deaf? The deaf are those who God is constantly calling to penance and to reformation. They've gone really beyond that aspect of just merely knowing in their minds, perhaps, of what the evils of sin are. But they know, because they've heard from various places, that they actually have to fix their life. They know that it's wrong, and yet they still don't listen to those admonitions. They see in the words of the scriptures the things to bring them to amendment of life, and yet they brush past them. They may have received corrections and warnings from those who are around them and care for them in fraternal correction. They may have events happen in their lives, a death in the family or death of friends, misfortunes, health scares, whatever it may be, something that provides them that initial spark to seek after where their life needs to be, to reflect upon how they have to live their own lives. Or even just by simple inspirations in their own conscience and in their own hearts, or the good example of people whom are in their lives. They see and hear all of these things coming to them to draw them towards amendment, yet the deaf sinner doesn't want to hear these warnings. They come and they reach his ears, yet no action is taken by him to leave sin behind. However, there again, like we'll see in any of these instances, there's never a lack of hope, because there's always chance of amendment while they still breathe. And he who is deaf, when he finally hears, when he finally opens his ears to this message, that sinner cannot believe that he had not heeded any of those admonitions. He can't believe all the missed opportunities he had to change his life that were given to him by those that are around him, or various sources of writing and scriptures. And yet, now he hears them. Now he seeks that sound advice. Now he'll do whatever it takes to find holiness and listen to whomever can provide that inspiration, that clear pathway there. He'll seek after priestly advice, knowing that this is his surest means to finding sanctity in his own life. Once he hears, he doesn't want to hear less ever again. He cannot get enough of that good words to help him change his life. The lame walk. The lame sinner is the one who is stuck in sinful habits. This is the one who again and again finds himself confessing the same things and not finding any kind of change in his life, nothing consistent at all. He knows his sinful actions are wrong, but he just can't seem to stop them. He knows that he even wants to stop them, but he can't help falling back into those same sins again and again. Yet the priest gives advice for means of breaking from these habits. The priest is giving advice in sermons, or in confession, or in counsel given to them. And they hear those words of advice. They promise to make that change. They even set them in their own mind that they're going to do those things. Yet it's like a flash in the pan for them. It doesn't last but an instant. They go, and then maybe they put it into place for a day, maybe even two. Yet those things, those healing remedies towards their own lameness, they don't hold on to. They're told to pray more, to have a regulated prayer schedule for themselves, to perform little penances at times as offerings up to God to strengthen their own willpower. They're told to attend Mass frequently, or little practical advices and little practical ways to fulfill their duties in their life, to fulfill their duties for those whom they have care under them, for their practical ways in avoiding the initial temptation to begin with. They have these advices come to them, yet they never make them stick in their own lives. They never stay with them more than a short burst at a time. And it's when these, this man finally realizes that these advices, they will help him, but it has to be a long-term investment on himself. He has to do it day after day after day. When he realizes that and he starts to implement that in his life, then he finally has his conversion. He finally finds that he is no longer lame, but now walks in the path of righteousness and amendment. He earnestly puts these pieces of advice into practice consistently. And those chains of habit of sin, are finally broken. And he is free to continue following the path that God has called him to. Lastly, we have the dead rising and the lepers being cleansed. These two we bring together because they're joined together in the same sense, though differing a little bit in degree. These are people who hold on to certain sins in their life because they don't want to relinquish them. The dead hold on to some mortal sin, which gives a fleeting pleasure in their lives, but kills their soul in the end. They know that. They feel bad about it. Yet, they just don't want to give up on that little bit of pleasure in their lives. Then that pleasure that they know is leading to their own destruction. So the dead are those who hold on to a mortal sin. And the lepers, in turn, are those that hold on to certain venial sins, certain faults and failings, which keep them from perfection, which hold them back in spiritual growth. They don't want to relinquish, both the dead and the lepers, don't want to relinquish their own hold on their own pleasures. They know that if they do, they will grow, but they know that if they give them up, they can't go back to them. And they know that that lack of instant gratification will cause them a little bit of offering of themselves. The object in the eyes of these sinners, the object for them of loving that pleasure is in a disordered fashion. They love the instant gratification more than they love God himself. And it takes that switching of the order to put God truly as the number one in their lives, the number one object of their eye. That is what it takes for them to amend, to convert. Yet when they finally do, when they finally make that good confession and wholeheartedly promise to try to steer clear of these same sins again, he is healed. He is cleansed from his leprosy. He is made whole and alive again in the grace of Christ. And a spiritual strength is finally restored to him, and heaven is opened back up to him. Of this miracle, the conversion of life to leave sin behind, Saint Augustine says that it is a greater miracle than when God said, "Let there be light." Greater than all creation is the conversion of a single man. And yet, this is what we are all called to every single day. Every day we have to convert ourselves. Why? Because it's not enough to turn away once. Tomorrow we're going to face temptations again. The next day we're going to be tempted again. And we have to reflect upon where our weakness lies. We have to think to ourselves, which one of these people perhaps am I? It's not something that should cause us despair, but rather is just a simple, honest admonition to ourselves in order for us to grow. Because if we do recognize our faults, which every one of us has, if we do recognize our weaknesses, then we can work at it. Then we can fight for sanctity and salvation. Then we can grow. And when we do this, when we have that constant conversion daily, that turning away from our old self, that turning away from sin, when we have that, we are the man who is healed from whatever disability we may have had in our lives up to that point. We are now made whole again by that daily conversion. And it's with that that we know we make progress. We can strive to continually work towards God, towards heaven, towards our eternal reward. We know that one day, if we constantly seek that daily conversion, one day we will be completely whole, completely healed. And that day comes to us at the beginning of our own eternity. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.